are many ways you can support Write Up My Podcast, but we'd love it if you pick just one.
You can join our Rump Club via Patreon from as little as £3 a month.
Get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content, the inside scoop on upcoming episodes, members-only workshops, no-holds-barred Gwen and Kate Wiffle Waffle, and more.
Simply head to patreon.com/writeupmypodcast. Or if you prefer to be a one-off supporter, you can send us a virtual coffee. Head to buymeacoffee.com/writeupmy.
Follow the links in our show notes and we will love you forever. Thank you.
It's right up my street, it's my boulevard. It's right up my Straza. Oh my God, it's garden right up there. Ah, it's right up my podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to Write Up My Podcast. My name's Kate White.
And my name's Gwen Watson. And this is the podcast in which we talk to people about the things that they do that they've got up their sleeve to make you feel good.
And we are now episode 14. And in this episode, I know, in this episode, we're going to be talking all about energy healing. But before we come on to talking about energy healing, how you doing, Gwen?
Oh, yeah, I'm all right. It's time for a bit of Wiffle Waffle. And I was just thinking, what have I been doing to make myself feel good? I can't pinpoint anything specific, so I'm going to ask you the question. Kate, what have you been doing to make yourself feel good?
Well, last week, me and my friend, we went surfing. There's this indoor surf indoor, it's not indoors, it's an inland surf lake just on the outskirts of Bristol called The Wave. And it's basically a big cheese wedge shaped pool with an artificial wave that sends swells forward. And you can just go and book a session and have a go. It was so much fun.
Hang on a minute. What do you mean cheese wedge? So if I'm imagining a camembert, are you then coming down a hill like a ski slope?
No. So that's the shape of it. And the waves get pumped out from the sharp point of the wedge camembert out into the wider circular bay, semicircle bay, where you catch them. And depending on your levels of ability, you're either in the shallow bits or you're out deeper, right where the waves have been pumped out of this machine. So it's a completely artificial wave pool, basically.
That is bloody amazing.
It's really nice. It is quite weird, though, when you look up and around and realise you're in this kind of semi-urban setting and you're in the waves.
There are cars going by. How big is, now that I've got that is a flat camembert wedge, how big are we talking?
Can I just say, I like the fact that you thought this was going to be on a slope, like some sort, like a ski slope, like a waterfall. That's a whole different sport.
It did cross my mind as I said that. I thought, how could it possibly be a slope?
But that sounds so much fun. That sounds way more fun.
Oh my God. I'm asking you lots of questions because I'm really interested in, not in doing it personally, good Lord, no, but in just, I love fit and active people like you that go and do these amazing sporty things.
Gwen, I'm like a little puppy dog that has to be walked. Otherwise, I go mental and start chewing the furniture. I've just got to be taken out and walked around the block or taken to the surfing pool.
So it's like a massive wave pool, which in my mind are slightly terrifying. I never thoroughly enjoyed those. It's just like, am I going to die on this wave? Or
maybe this next wave will be the one. Have you seen a video? There's a video that was going around on social media of a wave pool somewhere in the world. I don't know where. But there were so many people in this wave pool and they all had floats and bodyboards. So many people.
I think it was China.
Was it? You couldn't see the water. They were literally shoulder to shoulder, arse to face.
That is hell.
Yeah, absolutely terrifying. And each time a wave came, they all got flung on top of each other. Oh, my God. I mean, we're laughing about this, but actually that sounds like something really horrific.
It looked great. The picture looked amazing. They're all in really colourful rubber rings and stuff. But I thought, health and safety. Gotta go fucking nuts at that one.
Yeah, there's a checklist that has not been consulted when that place was set up.
Yes. I just think you're very brave. So tell me, were you in the shallows? Or were you in the big waves?
No.
Is it a bit like Hawaii up the back?
No. Okay, so let's put this in some sort of context here. I've been surfing or trying to surf or learning to surf for about 20 years. I am still in the baby waves. I'm still there with all the seven-year-olds going, oh, my God, love's a big one. Getting absolutely floored by the smallest amount of water. Yeah, but it's I should be ashamed of myself, but I lost shame a long time ago.
No, but you're standing up, are you?
Yeah, I'm standing up. I'm catching waves and I'm standing up. Yeah.
Wow.
But all the cool kids paddle past me out to the wave, out to the back, the unbroken waves. And I'm like, see you later. Yo. I'm just going to play here for a little bit.
Actually, I prefer these ones, guys.
Yeah, I just... Yeah. It's a whole niche area of surfing where you actively decide not to go out into the big waves.
You guys are really missing out.
This is where it's going down. So what about you, Gwen? What have you been doing to make yourself feel good?
Well, I've spent a lot of time playing with my kitten, but ow. I know that we spoke about her a lot last time, so I'll keep that to that's enough right there. I tell you what's happened suddenly, like within the last couple of weeks, it has become apparent that I am going to Portugal next week.
Now, this is exciting. So what do you have to do? What do you actually have to do to be allowed to go out the country and then come back in?
I know. This is why I'm not massively excited about it, because it's so daunting. Well, just the testing thing, I thought, I've just got to get, you know, a COVID test, and my niece has got loads of those for school, or I'll just go and get one down a car park in, you know, local car park again.
Mind Audi.
Yeah, but no, what you've got to do is you've got to pay for these tests. And as with everything in these pandemics, somebody's making a load of bloody cash out of this.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. So to get a test, right, and I'm looking, there's loads of different sites I've never heard of, but there's also Boots. On average, they are £99.
That just blows my mind.
Keeping in mind my flight was £107.
Oh, Jesus.
An absolute bargain. I've got to spend £99 to get a test on my way out of the country. Then you've got to buy another one to come back into the country, and they're about €100. And then you've got to do another one 2 days later, which I'm assuming is another £99. So I'm looking at about £300 just to get COVID tests to go in and out.
How long are you going to Portugal for?
3 days. Not really. No, I'm going for 2 weeks. But it's like, that is bloody bonkers. But also just the fact that as I wasn't expecting this, I continued with my diet of crisps and booze. And so I'm suddenly like, hang on a minute, I'm not ready to get on the beach.
I am not bikini ready.
No. I mean, I'm never bikini ready, but, you know, I'm even further away from that. And also just the fact that at the moment they're having about 32 degrees heat. I'm like, I'm sorry, what is that? That is
ludicrous. First things up, do not let fears about your body put you off going on holiday. Embrace your body.
Well, and my fat does always look better brown, so just get a tan on it.
Just get a tan. Yeah. Get it out there.
So there we go. Mixed feelings. But it's the potential is next time we speak for the very next episode, I will be in Portugal.
Oh, wow. I kind of want you to be, because I want to live vicariously through you. I want you to describe every detail of your overseas experience.
Yes.
There's a glass of vino verde down on the harbour side.
What do they call patas natal or something like that?
Custard tart, as we like to call it.
Yeah, exactly. I do bloody love it there. So let's see, shall we? Next time, from the Algarve, darling.
Ah, it's right up my podcast.
So this is episode 14, Energy Healing. Now, Kate, what is this episode about?
In this episode, we are going to be talking with energy alignment practitioner, a very lovely lady called Tracy Langley. And she describes the work that she does as combining her intuitive healing gift with her knowledge and skills in psychotherapy, trauma and past life regression.
Now, as you know, we like to explore a whole range of topics, of ways to make you feel good. Some of them a little bit more out there than others, and this might fall into that camp. And all we ask is that for the next 30 minutes or so, you just listen with an open mind and see where it takes you, and enjoy hearing about Tracy and the work that she does.
So come with us as we go on a bit of a journey. We started our conversation with Tracy by asking her, what is energy healing?
So if I give you a bit of background information on me and then explain a bit about energy, it will help you understand why I work in the way I work.
Okay.
So for me, I'm 41 now, and from a very young age had such a connection initially with animals and understanding if they didn't feel well or they were just not themselves. I can see it and feel it. My hands go like pins and needles, and I just see where their energy isn't moving. So that doesn't make me psychic, but it does make me in tune with the body and its energy, because we are all energy at the end of the day. And then going through life really carefree, growing up on a farm with my animals, realizing when I was probably a teenager that I was slightly different, as you do. And then I literally started all of this spiral of trying to understand myself. I said to a friend, oh, your dog's not well, really needs to see the vet.
Yeah.
And she did, and her dog wasn't well, and it was really poorly, and she went to see it, took it to the vet, her mum did, and got it all sorted. But from that point onwards was when I realised that I was different with how I saw anybody's energy, whether it's animals or people. And that was my really quite crucial point for wanting to know what it was, because at that point I had no idea. Nobody else in my family has a gift of being able to scan somebody's energy, but I can just look at a person or talk to them and I just know where they're holding this emotional block, or where they've got pain, or their energy is stuck.
Right.
So that's
what about you, Kate? But I've suddenly become a bit self-conscious.
Yeah, I'm thinking exactly the same thing. Should we turn the cameras off?
So you could understand that I had to understand energy for a start. So I had to really go into, for my understanding, my mind, the science behind it. And obviously Einstein and his everything is energy, and reading all the physics and trying to understand how we move and work. So I did all of that.
Yeah.
And I trained as a Reiki master, and I did lots of training with understanding Eastern medicine and why our bodies work how they work.
And so at what point did you begin to start feeling like you were getting an understanding of that?
Probably when I reached to my early 20s, 24, 25, I really come to understand the importance of actually life is what we make it. We are big balls of energy that absorb different kinds of stresses from the environment and other people. So it was about really learning how to rebalance somebody. And how I could feel and see through their physical bodies that we see, and work on their inner bodies, which is our cells, our organs, and our outer energy field. So when I see somebody, they're always moving.
Right.
And your energy could be as big or as close as how you're emotionally feeling.
Okay, and can it change on a daily basis, or is it quite a static thing for people?
Yeah, it can really change. So if we're physically unwell, energy becomes what I call stagnant. So it becomes stuck and housed within the body somewhere. And this is what starts to create us feeling aches and pains and not quite feeling ourselves. And then the same with emotions, that every organ in our body holds an emotion. So for example, our lungs, they hold grief, and that can be grief for the loss of someone, or the grief for loss of, you know, not feeling that we've lived our best lives and missed out on things. So we can grieve for ourselves, which people don't realize as well. It's how your body reacts to how we feel about ourselves, and that's That's energy. That's moving energy in our bodies, physically and emotionally. And if you want to, spiritually, because spirit is whatever anybody chooses to think. I mean, I always say universal source, but everybody has that connection. And this is how we work. We're forever changing, forever absorbing, and forever also portraying to others as well.
Would you describe yourself then as an empath? So you really feel other people's energies?
Really feel. And the way I feel the energy initially is my hands go all very tingly. So I could be in a busy place and know that somebody's not right. But this comes back to the learning through my years that I'm not a doctor or a vet, so I can't medically diagnose. You have to have those boundaries. You know, you must never think that you're superhuman, because you're not. We all go through different things, and it's about somebody has to come to you to want to have healing. And it can be for personal reasons, for business reasons, so that you can really fully embrace what's blocking you and why you can't get on the path that you want to be on. So it's really interesting in so many different dimensions of our daily lives.
Why might somebody come to you?
So it could be for two reasons. They could really be struggling with health issues, but the consultants have given them the all clear. So they could have had every scan, every blood test, and nothing shows up, and they could be the healthiest of persons, but they just don't feel right. They know they don't feel right. They don't feel well. Well, that's the power of housing something within your body, because your body's trying to say, you're ignoring this, you're not listening to me, so I'm just going to make you just feel a little bit out of sorts, or I'm going to just trigger this headache or this pain. And that's how we start to understand and feel through the trauma. So I can take people, I can travel them back in time to past lives, see if it's connected there, if it's appropriate. Or I can take them all the way through their lives to the current day, and you will be amazed at what shows up. They can be calmly just laying there, embracing the energy, and I could get to a particular age, and then all of a sudden the body will react. Right. And they could physically know that was there, or they could be like, gosh, I completely forgot about that. I just put that to the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's the root of all of their problems that they've been having. Or it could be, I'm setting up this business, but I just don't know where to begin or how to know what to do. Well, then you instantly think you've not tuned in to actually, you can do this, you are worth it. And start to let go of those patterns that have formed that they may have overheard, say, parents going, oh, we can't afford this, or we can't do that because of this. So it's just breaking away from those belief patterns, setting them back on track in alignment with their energy.
Yeah. I was going to say that it can be maybe quite intimidating at first to go through that experience and to do that work to try and find out whereabouts, where in your life there has been something that's made you, caused a blockage. That's quite an unnerving prospect to learn that.
It is. And I think, I truly believe in my heart that people find me. And I do believe everybody finds somebody at a certain point that is needed for a particular thing. And I always only work with people that I really do think that I can help. I never just go, oh, yeah, we'll try this. It's a proper connection that I just know that they were meant to come to be with me, so that they feel safe enough to go through this journey. And yes, you can go through quite a heavy session and process that for a few days afterwards. But once you have, gosh, you feel like all of that heavy weight has just lifted away from your body. And probably for the first time in a long time, you feel that you can just breathe and be yourself.
So if someone comes to you, how does that session play out? What will happen in that session?
Yeah, so I work remotely worldwide. So it's usually by video call currently at the moment with everything we've been experiencing.
Sure, yeah.
Makes it very interesting. So we'd have a video call and it's entirely up to the individual to give me the information they want to give me, because you've got to build up that rapport, and it's not necessarily easy to talk about your life inside out and the things that you want to resolve. And so we would then begin by just having that conversation, them seeing that I am just me. And by gaining that trust, I gain that energetic connection and permission to work on them. And then I just ask them to just then lay down, and then there's music playing, and then I begin by tuning in to their body. And I always start from the top of the head, and I feel as if I'm swimming through the body, so through all of the layers. And by working in this way, they do feel me working on them. And that probably sounds really crazy, but every time I can say to somebody, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you will feel where I am working on you.
Right.
And then I, from what I feel and what I see and where it's held in the body, I then feed everything back to them. They have a little moment of, oh my gosh, how do you know all that? And that's the bit that I've been trying to get my head around for years.
Yeah.
And then I work on surrendering and releasing what is stuck in the body. So it could be a trauma that they've once experienced, no matter how big or small. It could be how they've been conditioned and brought up. So those patterns that are imprinted on us. So it's about surrendering what our body no longer needs to be in alignment, to therefore create that flow. And that flow is energy. It's what we all are. We're all big flowing balls of energy, but we just see ourselves as the shells of how we look.
So in a similar way to Reiki then, perhaps, you are physically unblocking those. So you're sensing where the blockage is.
Yeah.
Or where the build-up of energy is, and you are creating flow. You are dislodging the block.
Yeah, you're dislodging the block by creating the energy that works through the body, reoxygenates our blood flow. So when we have fresh oxygenated blood pumping around all of our body, we start to get what you could class as like a detox. So it all starts to shift and move. And during these exchanges of shifts within our body, you could feel anger, you could cry during a session, you could go really icy cold. You really can feel how this energy physically starts to shift through your body. It's really powerful.
I think if I was coming in fresh to this, I'd be thinking, this sounds bonkers. But
yeah.
At the same time, I'm the sort of person I will 100% believe stuff, you know, and if it works. And I think that's, for me, is all the evidence I need, is if it works for people.
Yeah.
And I've heard of people getting Reiki, and at a distance as well, via, you know, that they've just arranged a time and they're on opposite sides of the planet and nothing has been discussed beforehand. And then suddenly that person's knee starts hurting.
Yeah.
And then they feel a release, and afterwards the Reiki practitioner has said, oh yes, I sensed that you had an old injury in your knee, so I did some work on that. And then that person confirms, yes, there was an old injury.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. And I think, well, there's something going on there, isn't there?
There really is.
Can you explain it, or you just go with it?
I've learned to go with it, because I think sometimes if we overthink things, we can therefore put our own impression on what we think we would like to happen. And then that's not true healing work for the individual that's wanting to receive it. So you have to remain very calm and open-minded and trust in where you're being guided to go. And it's the same for the person receiving the healing work.
I was going to ask that actually, yeah.
Yeah, you have to just be willing to even just say, I'm willing to try this once if it means I don't have to suffer that pain or I get a good night's sleep. Mm. And that's all it takes to step into that energy field of, well, I'm willing to give this a go. So your body, your mind talks to your body and says, it's okay. So then you get that communication cycle, because the body never forgets. It's this big, big muscle of just this cellular memory, and it knows every part of your life. And it's just, it's truly amazing. I can take people back to when they were in their mum's womb. And if that was a traumatic pregnancy, those, you know, that child, that person, even if they come into adulthood, they still have that trauma within them.
Right. Goodness.
So it's like our cells are affected.
Yeah, cellular memory.
And so your cells hold on to it.
Yeah. So in sports world, you have muscle memory, where if you have an injury, that muscle holds on to the pain, and that muscle might be completely healed and at strength again, but the muscle communication to the mind and back is saying, no, this is still hurting. And that's the same for if we have a trauma, the cells, wherever we hurt or wherever we feel, whichever emotion attached, we hold it and we never let it go. And that's where I come along and make the body and mind feel safe to let it go so that you can get that flow.
My energy is muddly, it's troubling me, it feels blocked. What I need is a fresh view, my position is skewed, need my outlook renewed. I'm quite finicky, oh so nitpicky, when things aren't gnickety. No, no, they're not about what you've got, even if you've got a lot, even if you very much have not. I'd like my negativity replaced with fluidity, so I'm no longer finicky, mate. Abracadabra, please align my chakras or do just whatever it takes.
A little bit about colours, because this was something that came up in a conversation we had together.
Yes, it is. So if we talk about chakras, our energy channels, our balls going all the way through our body, and they hold colours, and they should spin clockwise if they're in balance. If they're out of balance, the colour goes distorted and dull and really quite sluggish. And then we get the attachments of those kinds of emotions that we could feel. So say for your root chakra, you could suddenly feel quite unsupported in life. And that's a deep red. So if it's a quick, simple comment to a friend, I'd say, oh, just wear some really nice red knickers today and you'll feel completely better. And another example, if somebody's going for a job interview, I say put on really cerise pink underwear and have a bit of colour on your clothing, and you will feel so much better in your interview. You will feel empowered, but you will feel passionate about getting that job. So
I love that.
I love to play with colour and our energy, and it really does boost people.
So it's not necessarily about someone else seeing that colour on you. It's about you knowing that you're wearing that colour.
Yeah, yeah. And we do have loads of colours around us, and sometimes we can see them. So when your eyes are closed and you're in a session, you can see the colours and you can see shapes.
Yeah.
And and sometimes that reflects on where you are blocked in your body.
Yes.
So you telling somebody to wear a pair of red knickers,
yeah,
which I think is
kinky.
Sounds like great advice, yeah, for any day of the week, doesn't yeah it? Is that because they are lacking the colour red in one of their chakras? Is that what you're saying, that the colour is dull, so you're trying to enhance the colour by putting it onto the body?
No, so what it does is I see that they're lacking in feeling supported, that they think that they have no self-worth. And by putting on red knickers, this is going to become a thing, is it? By putting on red knickers, you actually empower their root chakra, which is all about feeling, yes, I am supported, I can do this, I am worthy. And then we can move up the layers. So for somebody that was maybe struggling to speak and get their point of view across, I'd be like, get a really nice turquoise blue scarf on and say what you've got to say. So,
and so then I'd be is like, that because that's the colour of your throat chakra?
Yeah, yeah. And it's all about power of speech, or if you have, where people have a stutter and things, empower it. Really wrap that part of your body up in that colour that it needs, so that you can get that connection back with yourself.
So each of the chakras has a different colour?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, now I'm getting it. I'm picking it up. I'm getting there.
Okay.
That's interesting,
and
isn't
it? And a different emotion. So a different attachment to how we feel as a person.
Yes, if somebody's coming to you and they're feeling a lack of confidence, or they're feeling fear or anxiety, is that going to be manifested in one particular part of their body? Is that kind of universal for everybody, that it will be in their root chakra? Or
yes, it will be always in a particular organ, but it's how much they've pushed that down and how much they've created a habit of coping with anxiety or depression. We're really good as beings on creating habits that we think are protecting us, when actually they're heightening the issue. But again, it's about feeling that fear, understanding why your body is secreting that adrenaline, because it thinks it's got to run in fight and flight, when actually all you want it to do is to come back, breathe and calm. But yeah, the signals are getting confused. So what I call the little switch to the mind, it's on overdrive. So it's always telling you, you've got to run, you've got to run. Fear is around the corner. You've got to feel scared. When literally your heart and all of your insides are going, oh, I just want to feel calm and relaxed and safe. Mm. Mm. So it's understanding why our body reacts how it reacts.
Is this the what people refer to as the monkey mind that you're talking yeah about here?
The yes monkey mind. Oh, my gosh. It plays a huge part in so many different things. And it starts to take the control, when really we should always, always ask our heart, because everything passes through our heart. You know, it's our biggest powerful organ. And people think it's the mind that we need to ask for answers, but it's the heart. And that gives you the true answer. So you can, so if you ask the heart, why do I feel suddenly like it's racing and I've got to run away? It will say, no, you're safe, you're calm. The monkey mind will go, no, run, run.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then it creates habit, and it really loves to have control.
Yes, and it's interesting when you have those moments of clarity where you're able to step out of your own body and see your behaviour and yeah see yourself doing those behaviour patterns when something yeah triggers you. I'd see it in myself sometimes, if something's triggered some sort of stress response, and I can see myself going back to things that I've been doing right since I was about 16 years old, you know? It's like, I'm yeah still doing that. Why?
Mm.
Yeah.
It is. We've been so good at becoming programmed. We have yeah so many imprints from all of the influences in our life, from parents, from friendships, from school teachers, bosses and everybody, that sometimes we actually forget who we are and how we want to feel and how we want to be as a person.
Now, you said that you have people that you work with who are all over the world. So you do a lot of remote work. And I feel for some people listening, this might be the area that is quite a leap for them to understand how this work can take place when you're not in the same physical space as somebody.
Yes. So energy, remember, energy has no time. And it's not controlled. It's a connection and a movement. It's so hard to describe because I know people think I am crazy when I say you will feel me working on you. And then the first thing when I connect them after I've done their session, they're like, gosh, you wasn't wrong. I could really feel you. And that's the understanding then of how energy works. It's to say, right, I don't understand this, but I'm going to give it that one try and see how it feels for me and what I get from it.
I like the way you phrase it, that, you know, just try it once. And I remember working with someone who used to say that. They're like, don't knock it until you've tried it, because you just don't know
how you just don't feel. And it could be that you just have one session with me and that's enough to send you on your way feeling like a new person. And some people maintain sessions every 4 to 8 weeks because that's their little self-care for them and their time out, and they make sure that they are working on themselves with my guidance. And then some people do their whole journey with me and spend months working with me. So everybody's so unique and individual, and it really does depend on where you are at what point in life.
Can you give us some real life examples of people, of how they've been transformed? Like, I'm really interested in the way that it impacts on people for their business or for work or etc.
Yes. Now, you could, there's lots of different testimonials on my website as well, so have a browse through, because that's of all kinds of people from all walks of life, and it makes an interesting read to read their views on me. But for instance, I had one lady who was in a train accident and was heavily on painkillers, learning to walk again, and had really become quite depressed and having lots of issues. And she said, I hope you don't mind me saying, but you're my last hope. I have no idea what to expect, but I've been recommended to see you. She was off her painkillers. She was pain-free. And during her session, she said, I felt like a piece of plasticine and you were just moulding me back into shape. She said, that's the only way I can describe it. You were moulding my body into shape. And she said, I've never felt so pain-free and just confident. And that was three sessions.
Wow, fantastic.
So that's the power.
Three sessions and she was able to come off her painkillers.
She was off her painkillers and walking. Business angle, somebody who literally couldn't get their bookings in and they were really in that mode of what we all would never dream to be in, of self-sabotage. It's a big thing. And we cleared all these belief patterns and all the fears that they had going around in them, that the monkey mind was like, you must feel these, you're not worthy.
Self-limiting core beliefs.
Yeah, and literally by detoxing their energy field of all of this, and by re-putting in new patterns of what they really truly wanted, allowed them to then really take off with their business.
You can't teach someone this skill, I'm assuming. This is something that you have to intuitively have.
Very good question. Thanks, Dahl.
I believe we all have the ability to learn. And I think everybody can learn the more they open their mind and their heart. So it's just that over time, I think it's become labelled with different things. But I like to keep it organic and say, actually, We are energy. Everything around us is energy. And without energy, us, nature, animals, nothing would be alive. So let's just keep it really organic and work with what we truly are. And I do think the more you practice, the more in tune you can become with something. So I do believe people can understand energy.
Because I think probably a lot of people experience it but don't realise that they're experiencing it, in that, you know, when just somebody you have these people in your life who you don't really want to spend time with, and or there's something at your core that doesn't quite trust them, and it is, and like you said, that you are drawn to other people, and we make decisions based on those kind of instincts without even realizing it, don't we? And that is picking up on other people's energies.
We do. And we're so influenced by technology now in this day and age. And, you know, all those influences start to embed in us to think that should we be something different to what we are? And that's where we start to get lost and confused, and we start to devalue ourselves. And it comes back to that self-sabotage. So it's just about making that time for you so that you're in touch with yourself. And you do know that what you're doing is makes you happy and things. It's so interesting. But I just believe we're all so organic, and we should really embrace who we are, what we are, and have an understanding that we are bigger than our shell.
I like to live in a predictable way. I have the same old sandwich every day. The same routine, the same ideas. The same tomatoes and the same cheddar cheese. Oh, I'm willing to try something new. With a nickel, pickle, pickle and some chutney too. I'll give it a try, yes, I'll give it a go. I might just like it, well, you just never know. But I'll always love a cup of tea.
So as you know, we always like to try these things out for ourselves. And for this particular episode, we had one-to-one sessions with Tracy, in which she gave us some energy healing. But we also wanted something that you could try out yourself at home.
Yes, and we were talking to Tracy about chakras, and I was asking her about this because it was something that I didn't really understand what they were or what they represented. So Tracy guided us through the different chakra points in our bodies and what they represent. And this is something that we've recorded so that you can listen at home and do this yourselves. As per usual, the full-length version is going to be up on our Patreon page for free, but here is just a little clip for you to get a taster.
So I would always advise somebody at least once a week to take that time to sit, wherever that may be, out in nature, just in your comfy chair at home or even on your bed, and just allow yourself to close your eyes and breathe and take the mind, the thought, inwards. And then you start to just work your way through the chakras. So if you start with your root chakra, which is your womb, hips and pelvis. And this is a ball of energy. If you imagine that ball of energy and it's spinning clockwise, and it's the most beautiful deep red. And you can visualize that as big or as little as you feel that you can cope with as an individual. And you just sit there, your eyes are closed and you're breathing through. And you just start to see and ask yourself, how do I feel in this area? And I promise you, you will know. You can feel overwhelmed if it's out of balance. You can feel unsupported or worried if it's out of balance. If none of those come up and you just really feel quite comfortable in this energy channel, then you just gently bring your focus up to the next chakra. And then as you work through, you start to get a real image of those colours and they become easier. So we're then going to your sacral chakra, which is just underneath your belly button. And again, you're just focusing on this ball of energy, and it's a beautiful orange. And you just see it just spinning clockwise. Just really admiring that really zesty bright orange. And you just ask it if there's anything there that it needs to show up. And this is all interconnected to how we feel about relationships. If we feel guilty or withdrawn, it will show up here. And that's how you just gently take some time out for you to just align your body's energy and understand what you feel, what's there. So it's really interesting. It's very powerful.
Thank you so much to Tracy. And if you want to find out more about Tracy and the work that she does, go to tracylangley.com and we'll put the link in the show notes so you can make sure you get the spelling right.
We'll also put the link to our Patreon, which you can access for free and listen to Tracy's full walkthrough of all the chakras and do a chakra cleanse yourself at home. So for this episode, Kate and I did a one-to-one each with Tracy. And what a fascinating session. Hey, Kate.
Really fascinating.
I feel like first we should explain how the sessions played out.
Yes.
So firstly, we did it on separate evenings and Tracy had organised a time with us. And what you do first, well, first you have to get prepared, don't you? So you've got like, where did you do yours? I was on my bed and you have to have a blanket put ready to pull over you because apparently when you go deep, you start to get cold, which I did.
Did you? Interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. So you have a video call first, don't you?
Yes.
And then the session in which she's doing it remotely for about 50 minutes, was it?
About that, although I think we both fell asleep, so I'm not 100% sure what time she finished. Just came round to find a message from her going, hello.
Hello, are you there? And then, there's another video call at the end in which she tells you what she came across and how she experienced your body.
Yeah, and I was really pleased that we had the video call at the start and the finish because it just gave it that personal interaction. Because it is a sort of, it's a slightly strange concept, isn't it? Doing this remotely, not being in the same physical space as someone. And
yes.
I think without that video call, it would have felt a very, even more remote experience.
Yeah. And I think, like she was saying in the interview, you've got to be open to it. And I think that's the case with a lot of things. And as I was saying in our chat with her, that it obviously works for a lot of people and that you've got to be open. And I think if people are open and are kind of thinking, yes, this can work for me, then it is more likely to work for you.
Yes, I think that's a fair point to make, definitely, that you've got to go in there with an open mind. And I really tried to do that because I think it's okay for me to say that this was quite a leap for me. And I did really try and approach my session with her with an open mind. And who knows, at a subconscious level, maybe I wasn't able to fully crack it open. But I tried my best to be open-minded to this.
You come from quite a science background, don't you?
I do.
You're always like, show me the science.
Show me the science. I want the hard, cold evidence.
Lady, how are you going to be swimming through my veins
while
we're in
literally
different countries or at all?
Can you draw me a diagram? Are you physically going to get into my veins? How's this going to work? But I do feel that there is a part of how we exist in the world that we don't have a tangible grasp of. And so I'm open to exploring these ideas because it's fascinating.
Yeah. So how was it, Kate? How did you go? You went in, you were open, you tried your best. What happened?
Well, firstly, lying on my bed, listening to relaxing music, it's only going to be a lovely experience. let's tick that box right off. That was a lovely relaxing hour I had. It was lovely to speak to Tracy and I didn't really give her any preamble. I explained that I was
quite tired, that I'd been very busy. I'd had a lot of deadlines a couple of days beforehand, so I was sort of running low on my body energy because I'd been up late the night before and so on. So I kind of explained that to her. But other than that, I just, you know, relaxed into it. Very strangely, about 10 minutes in, I suddenly had, maybe it wasn't 10 minutes, maybe it was less than that, I had this really, I'd been completely zoned out, just drifted away with the fairies. I suddenly had this very strong sensation of Tracy said, okay, I'm coming in now. Don't worry, you're safe. Which is very odd.
That's very odd.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
It is, isn't it? And yes. At the start of the session, I should say as well, at the start of the session, when I was talking to Tracy, I suddenly felt really nervous. And I don't know, I think I felt nervous because suddenly I felt quite vulnerable. What if this is real? What if you are genuinely going to swim through my veins and see all my deepest, darkest fears? Yeah, I suddenly felt quite vulnerable in a strange way.
Mm.
The rest of the session, I've got to be honest here. I didn't really feel anything. Once I'd had that initial sensation of Tracy saying, you're safe, let's crack on, I didn't really feel anything. Like I said, I did fall asleep at one point.
And then how was it when you came out of it and you were talking to her afterwards? What did she find in there?
So she said she could feel that tension in my chest. She could feel that I was a bit nervous. She could feel that my energy levels were really low. She sensed that there'd been this anxiety in me that I was on the wrong path, but she also could now see that I had a really clear picture of what I wanted and where I was going. You know, how much of this she knew, you know, I'm a mature student doing a master's. In my mind, oh, it's so hard, Gwen, isn't it? Because what I want to say is...
she could have made that up.
That's quite obvious, I think, that the reason why I did a master's was I wanted to change the direction of what I was doing.
Kind of?
Maybe not. She also said that she, down in my kidneys, she could sense I was holding a lot of energy in my kidneys. But she said that because she knew I was in a very heightened time right now, because I was very busy and I had a lot of work going on, she didn't feel like it was the right time to unpack that. So she wanted to just shroud it with love, I think was her beautiful way of wording it, and just make me feel warm and protected and safe, and that maybe at a later date, that's an area that I need to look at deeper. But she felt like because I had so much else going on in my life, now wasn't the time to find out what was going on in the kidneys.
Right.
Kidneys having a party.
So there's a bit of a to be continued, that there is something being held in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she said. And another thing that's just popped into my head that I want to say. Oh, yes. She said she could tell my energy levels were low, but she could also tell that I was one of those people that was always on the go, just constantly boom, 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 and not giving myself enough time and space around those activities, and that I need to make sure I set clear boundaries in my life for setting aside time for looking after me and making sure that I don't overwhelm myself with trying to do everything. And regardless of what you think about whether she was in my body assessing where there's energy blockages, regardless of what you think about that, that's bloody good advice. And she's
like,
that is 100% hit the nail on the head. So I want to hear about you, Gwen. I want to hear about your experience. So talk me through the process then for you.
So it was really interesting what you were saying about how you'd heard her in your head, because I had a very similar experience. Now, yes. Now, right at the top, I know, right at the top, I had a similar thing to you in that I was like, do I tell her? It's a bit like when you go and see a medium or something. It's like, do I tell them or do I let them guess? And I said to her, because as you know, and I won't go into details now, but I was very suddenly widowed about 16 years ago. And it was a massive shock. And I was in shock for quite a long time. And I know through other therapy that I've had that I've still got the trauma in my body. And as I started to talk to her, I was like, shall I tell her this? Or shall I see if she finds that I have trauma held in my body? It's one of those things.
And then magical mystery
tour. Shall I test her? And I did say to her, look, I know I've got trauma held in my body, and I don't know whether I should tell you or see if you can find it. And she goes, well, if you want to play that game, that's fine. But she said, this is your your session, and you want to get the most out of it. So I thought, actually, yes.
Yeah.
And I would love to, if at all possible, clear some of that shock and trauma that I'm holding in my body. Anyway, and as I laid down and I was really focusing on my husband, on Josh, and at one point, and I was looking at him really clearly,
yeah,
and our life together, and I heard him say the words "let go," and I felt at that moment like cold water or something like pouring into my chest. I can't quite explain it, and I had a little cry, Yeah, and then I'd stopped crying because I was immediately thinking, I must tell Kate about this. So, and I was lying there. And anyway, and that was amazing. And it was as if somebody was speaking the words to me. And and then I could feel little twinges in my body. And I kept going, oh, is she now like in my elbow? Because I could feel like I chipped my elbow a couple of years ago, and I could feel like that area starting to twinge. I was like, oh, she's now going down into my, like I was fully imagining all these little twinges in my body were her working her way through.
Yeah.
And, and I did end up falling asleep, but a lot of the time, because she makes you listen to music at the same time. So whenever your mind wanders or you're drifting off, you bring yourself back to the music. And, and I was really thinking about, I was thinking about our lives together and our memories. And she came, when we came back together at the end, her one, the phrase that she was using to me was like, that I need to let go.
Right.
And I kind of looked at her like, oh my God.
Yes.
Like,
like
that blew my mind. She goes, she was like, your heart and your chest is frozen in time from that moment of grief. And I do, from that moment of shock. And I do often think that it was so fucking catastrophically shocking that there is something, you know, frozen in there. And she was just working on kind of soothing that and freeing that and getting that flowing in my heart. And she was saying, like your lungs hold grief. And so this whole area is kind of, is holding on to it. And she's like, and you've got to let go. And she said, and your memories of him will not disappear. What you're worrying about is that you will lose the memories.
Yeah.
And, but you won't. You're just letting go of this shock and grief. And that was like quite mind bending.
Right.
That was like,
okay.
Yeah. And like you, I'm like, well, she could have just been making that up. But at the same time, the fact that I'd heard those words really clearly while I was under was just that really stuck with me. I was like, oh, something has just happened.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you as well. The next day I was flat out exhausted.
Yeah.
Like something, like I had something big going on in my body.
It's really interesting to hear you talk about that. And that sounds like it was a really positive experience for you. Would you go back and do it again?
Yeah, I would. Yes. Because I want to do it again. I want to feel more. I want to, it's hard to know what lasting effects it's going to have or what the impacts are going to have. Do you know what I mean? She was like, and if thoughts come up afterwards, don't try and bat them away, which is what we often do with difficult thoughts. Just focus on them and see what's coming up for you and allow them, you know, and sit with them. And I feel like, overall, I think it was a really positive experience. And
brilliant.
Yeah. It's not like I've come out and I'm like, and I'm fixed. But I do think that there was some really, like you were saying, there were some just really positive messages in there.
Yes.
And ones that, that I would want to, that I would want to take on.
The bit actually that resonated with me the strongest was that session that we've played out earlier about the going through the chakras. I found that, I think it was you used the word meditative, that it's a really meditative experience. And something about the focusing on these different areas, visualizing the colors, visualizing the motion, the spinning of the chakras, and visualizing them all doing that in synchronization with each other. Is that a word? Have I just made up language?
I don't know, but I like it.
Yep. I found that really calming, and I guess ties in with all of those elements of meditation about focusing on a particular thing. It stops all the extraneous thoughts bouncing around. And the colours colours always really resonate with me. I find different colours very calming. So that I was a really important part of it. So that, and in fact I have sat down and repeated that process as a kind of calming,
oh great,
centering thing. So that is the thing that really stuck with me that I will definitely do again. I really enjoyed meeting and talking with Tracy. I didn't have such an impactful experience as you with the energy level of it, but the talking and the coaching element of it was really positive and uplifting and supportive. And I think really it goes back to what we've said all along, that if something resonates with you and works for you, then that's enough, isn't it? Then
yes.
Then go for it.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yeah. And you don't have to understand what's happening in that moment.
No.
Really. We can't explain it. She can't explain it. But if it works for you and something positive comes out of it, then it's, then it's all good, isn't it?
Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can email us at writeupmypodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. And you can also get in touch and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at writeupmy.
Subscribe and follow wherever you listen. And do remember that we will love you forevermore if you find the time in your busy schedule to pop over to Apple and give us a review and a rating, please. And share with your friends.
And also, we would also love you even more if you would head over to patreon.com/writeupmypodcast. And there you can find all the supporting material for the episodes, where there's been extra images or extra bits of audio. You can find them all at Patreon. We look forward to seeing you there. And thank you to our wonderfully talented team, who without we could not put this all together.
This episode, we've had guest editor Pammy Muir, again, fantastic. On finessing the sound, we've had Andy Turvey. The music is by Andrew Grimes. The content editing by Kat O'Beal. And the lovely hand-drawn artwork is by Erica Francis George. What a massive bloody team of us.
I was just thinking, blimey, it takes a lot of us to get this over the line.
And my mum.
We will be back in a couple of weeks where we talk about sleep. I personally am very excited about this one. But in the meantime, keep trying things
to make you feel good. Bye-bye.
Tell me, did you like the podcast, Brian?
No!
Oh. If, unlike Brian, you thought our podcast was really great, then don't hold back, like, subscribe and tell your mate. But if, like Brian, you thought our podcast wasn't fun, then just keep quiet, don't feel the need to tell anyone. Oh, we'd love to hear from you if you've got some thoughts to share, such rich and lovely views that all should be aware of. But I hope you liked our podcast and you thought it was really great. And if you did, like, subscribe and tell your mate. 'Cause we don't need grumpy pants bringing everybody down. No, we don't need negative Nellies making people frown. So I hope you liked our podcast and you thought it was really great. And if you did, like, subscribe and tell your mate.